Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We're now in Masechet Makot Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, taking a look at the second and third sections in Mishnah Aleph in the Masechet, which deal with assessing how much Edim Zomim have to pay in particular cases. So we're now out of the exceptions that we had in the first part of the Mishnah, of cases where we do not apply Din Hazama at all. And now we'll be dealing with issues of adjusting payments. Me'idim anu et ish pot nishgeresh dishto v'natan l'ktubata. These two guys testified that a fellow divorced his wife, never paid her the ktubah, and in reality, he never divorced her. But the reality is that at some point in time, he will give her the ktubah, meaning he probably will give her the ktubah, meaning that they did not deprive him totally of the ktubah because he'd have to pay it anyway. Meaning, if he divorces her or he predeceases her, she would get the ktubah. So how do we measure how much they have to pay? We assess how much somebody would want to pay for the rights to this ktubah, and we'll see what that means in a moment. Based on the spec that if she becomes widowed or divorced, she would collect it. But on the other hand, if she predeceases, then the husband inherits, and what he inherits is everything that she's got, meaning also the nichse melog. Now, the way that Rashi reads this is, how much would a person pay the husband for the rights to own the ketubah, meaning that, and we'll see in a moment in the very short piece of Gemara here, how Rashi develops it. So now the Gemara asks, Ketzad Shamin, what is this assessment? How do we assess it? I'm Rav Chista Babal. Rav Chista says, from the perspective of the husband. The way Rashi explains it, in the explanation he prefers, is that we look at how much a person would pay the husband for the rights to the ketubah, in which the chief benefit is a current benefit, because the husband gets to eat up the nichse malog. And so what we do is we take that value. So let's say the ketubah is valued at $100,000. A guy might pay the husband $60,000 to own the rights to the ketubah, which means, first of all, if the husband dies or divorces her, then the estate's going to have to pay her, and this guy's just out the money. If, on the other hand, she predeceases it, this fellow is going to inherit everything. And in the meantime, and so therefore we would take a look and say, if the young couple is young and they seem to be getting along and they seem to have a long married life ahead of them, you might have 30, 40, 50 years of eating nichse melog, which could be great. Rav Natan Bar Shai Omer B'isha. And the way Rashi explains B'isha means is that we assess how much a person would pay the woman on for her rights to the ketubah on speculation, and then we take the entire ketubah and subtract that amount. And that's the amount that they made the guy lose. In other words, we erase the part that would be her interest in it. So let's say ketubah is $100,000. Maybe a person would pay the woman $10,000 for the rights to ketubah based on the spec that if the husband divorces her or predeceases her, then this buyer would collect the whole ketubah. Amar Papa b'isha uviktubata. So Rav Papa modifies Rav Natan Bar Shai's take and says that we assess it from the perspective of the woman, but only from the perspective of the ketubah, not the nichse melog. Okay. The next piece of the Mishnah, Me'idim anu b'ish ploni shu chayav l'chaviro elav zuz, amanat l'tein l'mikan v'ad shloshim yom. Now the two witnesses said, this fellow owes the other fellow $1,000, and he owes it to him in 30 days. V'hu omer mikan v'ad esar shanim. But the claim of the defendant is, yes, it's a loan, and yes, I owe the money, but I don't owe the money for 10 years, which means he's agreeing he'd have to pay, but he would have the money for another 9.9 years. So we simply estimate how much would a person be willing to pay to be able to hold on to and use 1,000 zuz, or whatever the amount is, for 9.9 years. In other words, that's money that you'd be willing to put out in order to be able to use that cash. And that's what the Edim Zomim have to pay. Okay, I'm Yonah or Shmuel. A little bit of a backdoor sugya. Hamalver chavero los eser shanim shvit mishamatato. Shmuel says that if you lend money for 10 years, nonetheless, Shmita cancels it, even though it'll be in the middle of the loan. Even though right now when Shemitah comes, there is no possible collection that the Torah says, don't collect, don't dun him for the money, because it's not due yet. So if after the day lo yigos, but 3 or 4 or 5 years later, there will be a lo yigos. Therefore, Shemitah cancels it. Meitir Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana challenged that and said, Omdim kam adam rotzei liten v'yu alo alef zuz biyado ben liten mikan v'yad shloshim yom and liten mikan v'yad eser shanim. Our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, the reality was that the debt was due in 10 years. V'yamar tshvit m'shamatato, but if you say that Shemitah cancels a 10-year debt by definition, because Shemitah is going to come in the middle, maybe even twice, kulanami bo'y shlumi. Then the aid should have to pay the defendant the entire debt, because by saying it's due in 30 days, he was going to make him pay the debt. If the reality is it's 10 years, he wouldn't have to pay the debt at all. So what are we talking about in our Mishnah? When you lend money and you take a pledge, you take collateral, Shemitah doesn't cancel it, because there's no issue of collection. Shemitah is to prevent you from coming after they had to collect, but if you've got the mashkin, say, look, you don't want to pay bakasha, I'll keep your grandfather clock. Uvmoser shtar otav lebeitin, or if you hand your shtar over to Beitin and make them your agents for collection, then Shemitah doesn't cancel it, and that's a part of what the Prus Bull is built on. Ditnan. Good. So now, in the first version of the statement, Shmuel said that a 10-year loan is canceled by Shemitah. Rav Kahana challenged it from our Mishnah, where it seemed to where it indicated that there is not a total loss to this defendant, because in any case, I'll have to pay it back after 10 years. And how could that be if the Shemitah cancels it? The answer is, this was such a loan that was rigged in a way to do an end around Shemitah. Ikadam, we have a different version of Shmuel, what's the opposite? Shemitah does not cancel a 10-year loan. Why? Even though eventually we'll be in the state of lo yigos, it doesn't exist now. I'm Rav Kahana, so now Rav Kahana, instead of challenging, uses our Mishnah support. If you would think that Shemitah is canceled, would cancel it, cool the number by Yishlumi, later you have to pay the whole thing. He doesn't pay the whole thing. Proof positive that Shmuel is correct. I'm a Rava, but Rava said, not necessarily. Good. So we just take this, it's a mirror of the previous version. In the first version, Rav Kahana's statement from our Mishnah was a challenge, and Rava's Ukimta of Moser Shtar Tov Beitin Mal Mashkon was a defense. In the second version, Rav Kahana was supporting from the Mishnah, and Rava was basically saying not necessarily, because it could be Mal Vala Mashkon or Moser Shtar Tov Beitin. Now, V'yam Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Again, Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel. We're going to see this become popular here. Ha'omer L'chaver Almanat Shol Tishmiteni Shvi'it. If a guy lends money and says, I'm lending you this on condition that Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan, Shvi'it Mishametet. Shemitah does cancel the loan. Your state, your condition doesn't work. So lame because of Shmuel and So it must be that Shmuel holds A, that when you give somebody a loan and say on condition that Shemitah doesn't cancel it, you're being matnel mashkatuba Torah. You're making a tanai against the Torah. And the second thing is that if you make a tanai against the Torah, that your tanai is batel. But that doesn't work because Vayitmar, we know that Shmuel says, Ha'omer lach ramanat she'en lach alayona. If you sell somebody an item and say, I'm selling to you on condition that there is, that you have no claim of ona on me for price gouging, Rav Omer Yeshto Alavona. Rav says there's still ona. Shmuel Omer Eino Alavona. Ona is off the table because you made that condition. Which means Shmuel says, Now Mashka Tuba Torah, Tanao Kayam. The answer is not necessarily. Ha'it marala, maravanan ledini mifreshalei mineri Shmuel. Rav Anan said, I heard it directly from Shmuel what he meant. Amanat she'en lach alay ona, if it's on condition that you won't claim ona, Eino Alavona, it works. Amanat she'en bo ona, but if I say on condition that ona does not exist here, hareish bo ona, then ona works. Because what's the issue of matneh mashikatu batorah? There's two ways to look at the problem. Way one is to say that matneh mashikatu batorah is simply to, you read to make a contract in defiance of the system that the Torah set up. The Torah said, when you sell property, you sell items, onah attaches, and you say onah is not going to attach. It doesn't work. The other way to say it is that when you make a condition in which you're trying to redefine what the Torah says, that's not the same. Then the Torah says no such thing exists. There is no such thing as a sale without onah. So you can personally forgive onah. You can personally say, I will take onah off the table. That's fine. You can write a contract which does not accord with the Torah's general direction, but you can't redefine what a sale is. You can't say this is a sale without onah. Every sale includes onah. I mean, the potential. So now, Hachanami, so we'll supply the same thing to Shmuel here. Amanat shelo tishmateni bashvi'it, if the tishmateni here is second person. Meaning, if you say, I'm lending you the money on condition that you will not cancel it on Shemitah, ancient Shematato, then you're right, it works. Amanola shelo tishmateni shvi'it, but on condition that Shemitah doesn't cancel it of its own accord, then shvi'it Meshamatato, that doesn't help. That's Shmuel's take. And so now it's not now Mashkot Tefutarat, Tana Obatel, when you're really trying to redefine the Torah's definitions. Now, Tana, Hamal v'chavero stam. If you lend money without explicating a time, Ein Rishar L'Tovo Pachot M'Shloshim Yom. The lender does not have the right to come and dun the borrower for money until 30 days are up. Savar Rav Chana Kamed Rav Lemeimar. So Rav Chana was sitting in front of Rav at some point and said to him, Hani Mili B'Milva B'Shtar. I think that's only true about a documented halva. Nobody's going to trouble themselves to go through the whole piece of writing a shtar for a loan that's less than 30 days. So the umdana, the assumption is 30 days minimum. Of course, if you make it a 3-day loan and you say it explicitly, that's fine. But if it's an oral debt, it could be 2 days. You could collect as soon as you can collect the next day, unless you stipulate a different time. Amale Rav. Rav turned to him and said, Hachi Amar Chavivi, this is what my friend, my uncle, meaning Reb Chia, said, Hani Mili B'Milva B'Shtar. It's only true as, Echad Amilva B'Shtar V'Echad Amilva Alpeh. It's true about any kind of halva. The default is 30 days minimum. Tanya Namihachi, we have a bright that supports the same thing. Good. Now, Amalei Shmuel Rav Matna. So Shmuel turned to Rav Matna and said, Lo Teitev Akarech. So this is from Taratoshel Rav. Shmuel now hears about it and says, Lo Teitev Akarech. Ad Befarshat Lila Hashmata. You're not going to sit down until you explain this rule. Menah Miltadam Rabbanon Malve Chaver Ostam Enu Shar Letova Pachot Mishloshim Yom. This rule, the rabbi said, that if you make a loan without explicating a time, the guy can't collect in less than before 30 days have passed. If we're just Mal Vishtar, would say, I understand, because a person is not going to trouble themselves to write a star for such a short time. But if it's Mal Val Peh, there must be some other reason. Amar Leh, so Matna said, Shmuel, here's the reason. Dichtiv, Karvash Natashev Ashnata Shmitah. You have to be very careful, as the nation of Tzedaka, to not say, ooh, the seventh year is coming, I don't want to give it any loan. Now, why does it say the two phrases which are the same? Shnata Sheva is Shnata Shmita, so I repeat it. There's another Shmita like the regular Shmita. First 30 days of a loan are like a Shmita, you can't collect during that time. Because we have this principle, just like Yom Echad B'Chodesh Chashuv Chodesh, 30 days are considered a minimal year, and therefore, if there's a Shemitah, mini Shemitah, it'll be a 30 days, the first 30 days of the loan. We have reviewed on Rav. Now we go back to Rav's Torah, but you'll see that this has nothing to do with the subject before, and as Rashi points out, the only reason it's here is because it's Rav Yehuda quoting Rav, and then Rav Kahana's challenge to Rav. Apotech beit hatzavah b'Shabbat, meaning if you have a garment that is all sealed on top, and then you have to open it up, like tear it open, in order to be able to put it over your head and open up the neck hole, chayav chatat, you're chayiv for tikkun mona, for finishing off the garment. Matkiv Rav Kahana challenged Rav and said, v'chima ben zelm kufat chavit, why is this any different than uncorking a barrel? You're allowed to do that on Shabbat. Rav said very simply, that the cork is not connected to the barrel. It's plugged in, but you unplug it. This is chibur. This is all one garment. You're ripping it apart. If you remember Marav, then we have it again. But now it's a different area, in the area of mikvaot. So just remember one important rule. If you have a mikvah of 40 sa'ah or more of rainwater, you could throw in anything you want afterwards, and it's going to be fine, well, within reason. But if you have a mikvah that is less than 40 sa'ah, and then you fill it with drawn water, with maim she'uvin, then, depending on how much rainwater there was, the mikvah will become pasul. The rule is shlosha lugin. 3 lugin of water, which is roughly 36 ounces or so of water, which are maim she'uvim, if the mikvah was 40 sa'ah minus that. But what happens if you threw in less than shlosha lugin maim, so it doesn't pasul the mikvah? So now, shlosha lugin maim shafala tochan kortov shel yayin. Let's say that a drop of wine fell in to this barrel where you had 3 lugim of water. Umarahan kamare yayin. And now the whole thing looks like wine. The wine colored it. V'naful the mikvah. The whole bunch fell in the mikvah. Lo paslu. It does not invalidate the mikvah. Why? Because this is essentially wine that fell into a mikvah, and wine doesn't invalidate a mikvah if it was 40 sa'a minus 3 lugim of proper water, and then 3 lugim of wine fell in. It doesn't pasul. Only maim she'uvim. Rav Kahana challenge, it says, why is this any different than colored water? If you have colored water, falls in the mikvah, then 3 lugim worth invalidated. Again, if there was 40 sa minus 3 lugim, make shamim. So Rav gave the answer, that's called colored water. This is called diluted wine. So since we think of it as diluted wine, therefore it's not mayim. Think of that as colored water. It is mine. Okay, but wait a second. Atani Rabbi Chiya horidu et hamikvah. Rabbi Chiya paskened that you had to invalidate such a mikvah where the wine, a little bit of wine, had fallen into 3 lugin of water, and the 3 lugin fell into the mikvah. He invalidated it against his own nephew Rav. And his Rav's position was against Rabbi Chiya. Amarav alokasha hariyachem enuri harabanan. Rav said that's very simple. Is that Rav's position was following Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and Rabbi Chiya was following Rabbanan, was reporting on a psak like Rabbanan. We'll see what that means. Nan shlosha lugin mayim chaser kortov shenafala tochan kortov yayin. Let's say you have 3 lugim of water that are missing a small amount. And then shafal tachan kortov shel yayin. Now the question of whether it says chaser kortov in that line, but right now we'll read it the way we have it. Chaser kortov shafal tachan kortov yayin. So that little bit less than a 3 lugim of water is made up by a little bit of wine. Umarein kamarei yayin. And now the whole thing looks like wine. Raful the mikvah lo paslu. Fall in the mikvah, that doesn't invalidate it. The implication is that if it was 3 full lugim of water and then a little bit of wine fell in and colored it, it would pasul it, and that would be Rabbi Chiya's psak. Same thing if you have 3 lugim minus, that a small bit that make up the difference, which is milk, and it looks like water, it doesn't invalidate. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says it all follows the color, whatever color it is. Meaning, if it looks like wine, it's not posel. If it looks like water, it is. Now, so right now we're answering that Rav's position is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and Rabbi Chiya's report is as per Rabbanan. But wait a second, Rav Papa wasn't clear on the Mishnah. To Rav Papa, Rav Tani Chaser Kortov Reisha, did Rav read our Mishnah, that Mishnah we just quoted, as having the words Chaser Kortov in the first line about the wine? About the water, aval shlosha lugim the Tanakama apostle, but if it was a full 3 lugim, and the Tanakama would say apostle. That's Rabbi Yochanan the Meimar called Achar Maran. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri says, no, I don't care if it was 3 lugim. If it looks like wine, it looks like wine. For Rav Omer Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, in which case Rav is simply learning like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Odilma, Rav Papa said, Rav lo tani chaser kortov reisha. Maybe Rav did not read chaser kortov in the reisha. Menuri ki poli gasefu na poli. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri is only disagreeing about the seifa with the milk, and when it looks like water, it says since it looks like water, it is posel. But in a case where it looks like wine, everybody would agree that it's kosher. Rav Damar Kedivir HaKol, and Rav's quote is Kedivir HaKol. So how can you say that Rav Chia, who poses Rav, is holding like the Rabbanon? There might not be such a position. The answer is Rav Papin Bayele, Rav Pshitele. Rav Papa wasn't sure. Rav was sure that the Girsa is Chaser Kortov, as we have it. And therefore, in a case where it's not Chaser Kortov, where there's three full lugim of water, the Rabbanon would say it does possible it. And that's the position of Rav Chia. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you have to remember, later in his life, had something akin to a stroke, and he forgot a lot of his Torah, and then Abai reminded him. So Lo Shmi Ali Hashmata. Rav Yosef says, I never heard this before. Abai Atamardla Niala. Abai says, yes, you did. You taught it to us. V'yachamard Niala. And by the way, your comment on it was, the Rav Lotani Chasar Kortav Reisha, that Rav does not read Chasar Kortav in the Reisha. Rav Yochanan Asefa Poli. For Rav Damarki Divirako, which means, by the way, we've got three positions. We've got the position of Rava, which is that Rav read Chaser Kortov, and that there is an essential machlok at Tanakam Rav Yochum Nuri, and Tanakama's position is that, quoted by Rav Chia, that the mikvah is pasul if you have three lugim of water that fall into the mikvah. Three minus a Kortov is a different story. We have Rav Papa's position, which is, I don't know what the proper girsa is or where the machloket is. Rav Yosef's position, which is, the girsa is not Chaser Kortov, and everybody agrees that if there's three lugim of water, but they have the color of wine, that the mikveh is still kosher, right? And that was Rav Yosef's position. In which case, by the way, we're a little out to sea with the issue of Rav Chia's position. Remember, Yehuda Marat, Chavit Maleah Mayim Shnafal Aliyom Agadol. Let's say you have a barrel full of water, drawn water, and you're out at sea, and it falls over the side of the boat, and it falls into the Mediterranean. Hatovel Sham lo al talo tefila. If somebody goes into the mikveh right at that spot, it doesn't count. Why? We're concerned that there may be three lugim hanging out in one place, because the waters of the Mediterranean out away from the beach are kind of quiet. The dafka liyam agadol, only in the sea, the kai v'kaima, it's standing still. Aval nara ba'al malo, but if it's a river, certainly not, because the river is always rushing and moving stuff around. So if you threw that in, it wouldn't matter. Tanya miachi, chavit le'ayayin. Shafal Yamagadol. If you have a barrel full of wine that fell into the Yamagadol, Hatavel Sham Lo Talot Tefila. If somebody goes to the mikveh right at that spot, it's no good. Chayshin L'Shlosh Alugin Shuvim Shaloi Makom Achad. Basically, we're concerned that he's being tovel in the wine, not in the water. V'chen Kikar Shal Trumah Shnafal Sham. And by the way, if after this guy went in, this guy who was Tame went in, and then a loaf of Truma went in there, then it's Tame. My v'chein, why is this an analogy? Maybe I would say, look, the guy was tameh, he went into this mikvah, but it's not really mikvah. Keep him tameh. But this truma was tahor. Let it stay tahor. Don't change its chazaka. Don't change its status. Kamash malan, that we render a tameh, and we really do consider that this place is tameh, based on the fact that the fellow who was tameh went in and was not in a proper mikvah, possibly. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick up in the next podcast with Mishnah Bet, which is on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful